is honestly and truly my favorite part of the week. It really is. Not just because I get to see friendly faces, but because I get to be part of something bigger than myself, and I get to gather together with our community, with our body of believers, and together we get to enter into the presence of the Almighty God, and that is truly priceless. And you know what? A lot of people are missing today, and I think they missed out on something really special this morning. How many can you agree with me on that? Amen. So before I get started, I want to again just say happy Mother's Day to all of you moms out there. The reality is you do all of the work. You do, and rarely get any credit for it. So today we want to honor all of you for doing all of the things that hold our worlds together, and all the things that you continue to do for the rest of us. So thank you for that. And I have a little slide. I know that we had to. One version of it didn't work, but I think Michelle pulled a miracle and got it to work.
I'm Carrie.
So there we go.
I'm Melinda. And Carrie and I decided it would be a good idea to prepare a statement for our families who are out there searching for that elusive, perfect Mother's Day gift. Now, Carrie and I differ somewhat on ideas for this gift, and she won the coin toss.
Yay!
So I will be her interpreter. Carrie?
Thank you, Melinda.
You're welcome.
To all of our loved ones, our husbands, our children, and Miss Bonita down at the corner coffee shop that makes those little chocolate chip muffins. They are so good. I could just eat. Okay, sorry. We know you work hard all day long at your jobs and at school, and so we'd like to take the opportunity to say that this Mother's Day, all we need is your love. Your time and your affection. There's no need for material gifts such as flowers or jewelry or gift cards. We feel your appreciation and your hugs and your smiles, that sparkle in your eyes, the homemade cards, and the clay handprints. All those special moments I will cherish. The first words you spoke, the first time you walked, all those nights I stayed up with you when you were sick. I love taking care of you. I wouldn't even know what to tell you to get me for Mother's Day. Because flowers wilt, jewelry loses its shine, gift cards are lost and forgotten. But your time, your affection, and Miss Bonita, those little chocolate chip muffins, they stay right here. So please don't stress out this Mother's Day. Don't worry about what to get me. I have the gift of your love, and that's all that I need. It is an honor to be your mom, because I know that our time together is so short. You won't be my baby forever. Well, just yesterday, you were toddling up to me, reaching up those little chubby arms for me to pick you up. All too soon, there will be a last goodnight story, the last nighty-night hug, the last little kiss before my little bird flies away. Aw. Happy Mother's Day. Now I'm her interpreter. She said happy Mother's Day.
I love Cynthia.
She loves her kids.
I do.
She does.
those of you that haven't been here, we're working our way through a series called Believe. Three sets of 10 lessons. Think, act, and be. And as we move through these lessons, our hope is that it will help us grow deeper in our walk with the Lord and think, act, and be more like Jesus. So we've now completed the first section. Last Sunday, we entered into the second section of act. And that very first lesson in the act session was on worship. Now, who was here for the worship event Sunday evening? Unfortunately, I did not get to attend, but I heard that it was really excellent. That's powerful. I love that. That's fantastic. Today, we're going to touch on the topic of prayer. And my favorite thing about this Believe series is how one lesson becomes the foundation for the next. And it just builds one upon another and another and another. So today I want to start off with our weekly key question and key scripture and the key idea. So the key idea is this: I pray to God to know Him, to find a direction for my life, and to lay my requests before Him. Let me say that again. I pray to God to know Him, to find direction for my life, and to lay my requests before Him. Our key verse for the day, it's found in Psalm 66, verse 18 through 20. But by now you're familiar that I don't like taking two little verses out of their context. Psalm 66 is a very short passage of Scripture. It's a short chapter, and those couple of verses are found at the very end, which means the first scriptures, 1 through 17, are setting it up. So I don't know that we have it on the screen, but that's okay. I just want to read it to you. If you have your Bibles with you, it's also in your bulletin, so you can follow along. It starts off like this: shout for joy to God, all the earth. Right? We just actually sang that, right? Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, how awesome His deeds are for mankind. He turned the sea to dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in Him. He rules forever by His power. His eyes watch the nations. Do not let the rebellious rise up against Him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For You, God, have tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison, and You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. You went through the fire and water, but You brought us into a place of abundance. I will come to Your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to You. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to for bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. And if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God surely listened, and he heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Amen. So let me ask you a question. What is prayer? What does it look like? If you've been around long enough, then you're going to have come to a conclusion that prayer is a dialogue. It's a dialogue between you and God, and it seems to have taken on many shapes and forms, because prayer is a very personal and intimate thing. You know, maybe when you're little, you start off with the lullaby prayer, right? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And then there's, of course, the hungry belly prayer, right? Rub-a-dub-dub. Thanks for the grub. And then you have the prayer for the guy who forgot to pray and started eating, right, and got caught, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. But as we get a little more serious, we begin to incorporate prayer into our daily routine. Maybe it's in our morning devotions, our evening prayers before bedtime. We see it in things like the church prayer chain. Maybe we have a prayer partner. But no matter what shape it takes in our life, prayer is generally understood to be that dialogue, that communication between you and God. Sadly, however, we've managed to take it from being a dialogue, and we've made it more of a monologue. And we have a lot to say. And prayer has become all about, dear God, I, me, amen. Right? And we seldom take the time to actually hear what God might have to say about any of it. I love the way the Believe series put together the idea for today regarding why we pray. It says, I pray to God, and then it lists why. To know God, to find direction for my life, and to lay my requests before him. So let's start off with knowing God. Praying opens up this opportunity for God to show up in our life. It does. It gives him an opportunity for him to reveal himself as active and interested in the details of your life. It gives him an opportunity to prove to you that he knows you. And seeing that he knows you and that he's active and interested in your life, first step in knowing Him. But sometimes when it seems dark, it can be hard. Just like the psalm that we read a few minutes earlier, our personal circumstances can dampen our faith, our belief, our ability to see straight, in at least a spiritual perspective. And it's in those times that we have to turn to God's track record. When it's really hard to see right now in this moment, we have to look backwards in order to know where we're going. Because that's how we know. We're able to remember how God has proven Himself over and over and over in our lives. We can remember and proclaim His goodness and His faithfulness, His power, His might. We declare His glory and His praise. God is known through His track record, not just in our personal lives, but throughout all of history, throughout all of Scripture. When Jesus taught us how to pray in the Gospels, right? Pray like this, He said. He began the same way that we see the psalmist begin. He began by acknowledging that God is holy and that He's heavenly. He's above, He's greater, He's beyond, right? Our Father in heaven, He said, hallowed be Thy name, holy be Your name. Let Your name continually be kept as holy. Prayer begins in worship, recognizing and remembering and acknowledging God for who He is. It doesn't start with our circumstances. It starts with God. Because that puts everything into the right perspective. It gets our focus off of ourselves and our circumstances, and it puts it on our Heavenly Father. And in that perspective, there is no circumstances, no problem that can hold a candle to the greatness of our God. Finding our direction. So prayer helps us find direction for our lives. Ultimately, as we journey with the Lord, we learn to come to Him as we're faced with decisions that we feel are somehow greater than the day-to-day. Chances are we're not going to go to the Lord in prayer to decide if we're going to have a cheeseburger or a taco for lunch. There you go. We do it because we understand that God has a plan for our lives and that the best place to be is in the center of His plan. But so often we try to take our plan and our agenda and fit God into our box. Jesus continues teaching his disciples how to pray, he reminds us that God's agenda is the priority. May your kingdom come soon, he says. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, it might be my plan to go buy a house. It might be my plan to go take my credentials or my degree or my skill sets and go get a job that pays a lot of money. But that would maybe mean uprooting my life or my family or this or that or whatever those decisions are that you have to make. But just because that looks like a great plan, because, hey, what's wrong with owning a house? What's wrong with making a lot of money, right? Those are great things to aspire to. Until you realize that they're not what God is intending for you for the season of life that you're in. So now I have a decision I have to make. Am I going to try to fit God into my agenda? Or am I going to bend my will in prayer and acknowledge his agenda as the priority? We learned a few weeks ago that God created us for the sole purpose of partnering with him in his redemptive plan for the world. So when we go to prayer seeking our direction for our lives, maybe we need to start by checking our motives. Are we seeking our agenda? Or are we seeking God's agenda? Laying our requests before him, point number three. Jesus follows up on God's agenda with recognizing that being human, we have legitimate needs, right? We do. Give us today the food that we need. Give us today our daily bread. Depending on your translation, right? We have basic, simple needs that have to be met in order to function, to continue, to thrive. Strangely, though, both Jesus and our psalmist connect it with forgiveness, not just forgiveness of our sins, but that we forgive others in the same way that God has been forgiving us. Now, why would he do that? You know, I had to think long and hard about that as well. Why is somehow our provision being connected with the forgiveness of our sins and forgiving others? And I had to do some digging in scriptures, but I'm pretty sure that it means that our Heavenly Father has an eternal agenda, which he has made clear to us. That he created each and every single one of us to be a part of it and partner with him in it. And if we put our agendas on the altar in prayer and finishes up the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, as he's teaching his disciples how to pray, and he says, don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue or save us from the evil one. You know, the devil wants nothing more than to distract us, bribe us, coerce us, steal, kill, and destroy. Anything that he can and has to do to prevent us from partnering with God's redemptive plan. But prayer keeps us focused and strengthened to stay the course. And when we begin to feel like we're no longer enough, that we don't have what it takes, that we're tired, we're exhausted, we're depleted, that it's become hard to see, then we start over again. And we circle back to worship. As Jesus says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So what is prayer? Prayer is our ongoing conversation with God. Ongoing as we partner with him and his agenda for our lives, recognizing who he is and who we are in him. And then proclaiming him to others. Now, prayer might look different for each and every one of you. Some are quiet. Some are loud. Some pray in song. Others pray with great and bold prophetic declarations. As I was studying for this, I looked up the word for prayer in Hebrew, and the word is tefillah. Literally translates as intercession, entreaty, supplication, a hymn, a sacred song, or a psalm. One word and encompassing all those different types of prayer. But the root of that Hebrew word is pilel, and it means to hope for and to believe possible. So when we pray and things seem difficult or maybe impossible and it's dark, we have to remember that it's about him. And not about our circumstances. And with him, all things are possible. And even in the darkness, God is light. You know, Scripture says that God actually makes darkness his secret place. That's how incredible our God is. That no matter how dark things look, no matter how hard things look, it's nothing compared to the greatness of our God. That's why we have to start there. That's why we end there. That's why we want to be in the middle of it with him, where he is at. of our human condition, there are, I know that there are things in every single one of our lives where we need to maybe check our agenda, check our motives. Maybe we need to put those down at the altar and bring them into alignment with His agenda. Because when we bring those things into alignment with His agenda, trust me when I say this,